Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Tet, and we're holding it the Halakha Mishnah down from the top of the daf a bit, and we're continuing on to talk about things that are affected by the tchum of the owner. So now we have an interesting question. Is a burning coal considered to be something that is an object of yours? And if it is the flame on the burning coal considered to be a separate object? So in other words, suppose you have a coal, and you have a candle. You light the candle with somebody else's light. He's got an Erev in one direction. You've got an Erev in the other direction. Do you have to worry about the burning flame? And the burning flame is considered to have its own tchum or not? So this is what we want to find out. Hagachelet. So the coal itself, or the candle itself, obviously goes according to where the owner of it, and it's just like any other object. So it goes according to his tchum. The shalhevet, however, is not considered to be a real object, because it's basically just a chemical reaction that you're seeing, and therefore there's no object that's attached to it, and because of that, it doesn't matter if you lit it with someone else's fire. That fire is not considered to be a separate entity, which therefore could have a different tchum. It's not an entity. Now, there's other differences between a gachelet and a shalhevet. The very fact that the shalhevet is not an actual object makes another nafkamina legabe hegdesh. So gachelet shel hegdesh mualimba. Somebody has a coal and he uses it and he's taking from hegdesh, so then he's over on me'ilah. But if he just uses the flame of Hegdesh, then he's not going to, he's Osim and Rabbonin, as we'll see, but he's not going to be over on Me'ilah. He certainly won't be Chayiv to bring a Korban Me'ilah, and so on.
Rabbi, can Rabbi move the mic a little bit closer?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. I didn't even know
what Ira reminds. I'm reminding about that. I think Rashi used the word ner for lamp as opposed to candle, but Ira reminds about the, what can you do? What can you do?
And another nafkamina would be hamotzi gachelet l'rishut harabim, somebody who carries out into rishus harabim from rishus hayachid is going to be over on hatzah. But if he just carries out the flame, how do you do that? Everybody's going to talk about that. So he just carries out the flame, so then he would be potter. Tana rabbana, there's actually five things that we found in various locations that are different between a gachelet and shalhevet. So three of them are discussed in our Mishnah, but there's more. So A, a gachelet keragli habalim, and a shalhevet b'chol makom, that's our Mishnah. B, a gachelet shalhegdesh mo'alim bo, b'shalhevet lo neni v'lo mo'alim, also in our Mishnah. Here comes a new one. C, a gachelet av avodah zarah is osur to use, but you are allowed to use the shalhevet, which is interesting because the Rabbanan made a gezerah on Hegdesh, but they didn't make a gezerah against using the shalhevet of Avodah Zarah, which the Gemara is going to ask. I mean, if we're concerned for someone coming to use the gachelet because of the shalhevet, it ought to be the same whether we're talking about Hegdesh or we're talking about church. Avdol el Favdolas. Hamotzi gachelet D. Hamotzi gachelet l'shut rabim. This too is in our Mishnah, is chayev, but if he just takes out a shalhevet, is potter. And then we have E, which was not in our Mishnah, Hamudar Hana'am Mechaveiro. Somebody is Osir in Hana, he asked someone else from his deriving any benefit from him. He would not be allowed to utilize the other person's Gachelet, but he would be allowed to utilize the other person's Shalhevet. Now, can you explain to me why a Shalhevet of Avodah Zarah, the Rabbanah did not make Xeron, and they said you can use it, and yet when it came to Hegdesh, they said that you can't use the shalhevet, despite the fact that the status ought to be exactly the same, because it's a non-tangible object. So why did the Rabbanan ask one and not the other? Well, that's because who's going to walk into a church to take the shalhevet? I mean, come on. Avodah Zarah, anyway, people are disgusted by. So it's just not something that the Rabbanan have to worry about. They're going to let them take the shalhevet, they'll take the gachelet. Nobody wants to get near them. So Avodah Zarah, which is disgusting to people, Ubadile in Ishminam, just the thought of walking in there, said, Lo Gazer Barabonet, so therefore Rabbanan didn't feel it was necessary to make a Gezerah. Hegdesh, the Loma Isi, Mashain came, when it comes to Hegdesh over there, they did make a Gezerah, because even though it's true that in terms of certain halachas, we do say that hekdesh bedili in shemineh, right? In terms of a lot of things, people are careful overall not to use hekdesh all year round. That's true, but as Rashi points out, it's not moz. So something that is moz is much more unlikely for someone to be nichshalin than something that it's just he's careful because it's hekdesh. Now, we talked about a motzi kachelos rishus harabim, he would be chayiv, but if he just takes out the shalheves, he's potter. The problem is, there's a braita that says exactly the opposite, no, it shouldn't say exactly, but the opposite about the shalhevet, and it says in the braita that hamotzi shalhevet, the shalhevet is also considered to be chayiv. Now that's, which way is it? So, Omer of Sheshes, well, it's different. The Bryce is talking about a case where the Shalhevet is burning a match. So it's attached to a piece of wood. So since it's attached to a piece of wood, that gives it more of a sense of an object. So it's a Shalheves where it's not just like the invisible chemical reaction, but I can actually see the fuel as it's being sublimated into the chemical reaction, which means that the Shalhevet is viewed by me as something that's far more tangible. And in that case, there would be a chiyuv of hotzah. Well, I understand. I mean, if you took it out with a match, why do we need the shalhevet? Why wouldn't you be chiyuv just on the match? So, I mean, it wouldn't be important whether there's a flame on it or not, is it? So, typically, mishum kisen, because anyway, it would be irrelevant that it's got the shalhevet. No, it could be talking about that the wood is too small. There's a shear of wood. Remember the shear of hotzah for wood? It's got to be enough wood to cook up an egg, which is a normal tarnagolat egg. We said Beit Sakala. Well, that's a lot of wood. I mean, certainly not a match. So, legabe the shalhevet, there's a chiyuv because the shalhevet is choshev if it's on a match. Legabe, the question of the match itself, I mean, it's too small, and therefore, it wouldn't be mechayev here. Abaye says, you don't have to say necessarily that it's talking about there's two ways of learning it, okay? Either Abaye is saying you don't have to say necessarily that you were actually looking at the fuel as it was being sublimated. The other way is to say, well, I actually don't agree about a kisem, because a kisem is the match just burns out so quickly, it doesn't really have any chashivas. What I would say the case is that you took a lighter fluid and you put a lot of lighter fluid, you soaked a piece of pottery in the lighter fluid, or you did the old shtick with the hat, you know, you put a lot of lighter fluid in your hat, you know, to dance at a wedding or something. And that's what it's talking about. So you shaifim one of mishchas, you smeared it with lighter fluid, and then you lit it. So over there, again, either the chiddush is, even though I do not see the actual fuel, and therefore you might think it's less really choshev because I don't really understand just looking at it, how it is that the shalheves is burning from the piece of pottery, or the other way around. Since there's enough lighter fluid there to support the shalheves for a while, so because of that, maybe only that case. Both things are brought by the Rishonim. Okay, so the Mishnah is talking about where the shalhevet is not attached to anything, and therefore there's no chiyuv of carrying it out. I understand, but if you took out a kli, I mean, you took out a piece of broken pottery, why wouldn't you be chayav for that, even if there were no shalhevet on it? So, v'tebele mishumana, the same kasha we asked about kisan. And we said it's talking about not a real kli, it's talking about a broken kli. It's a chaspa. Okay, fine. So, there is a chayav on taking out a chaspa. Chaspa is usable. So, why not? No, it's talking about a small chaspa. It doesn't have a shear. Because remember, the Mishnah back in Shabbat said that there is a shear for a chaspa. What is that shear? Cheres k'dei litein bein patsim l'chaveiro. So if you would have a pile of boards and there's a difference in the length of the boards or there's a warpage in the boards, then what you would do is to make sure that you don't get any further bending is you put in little pieces of pottery between them to even things out so there'll be the same pressure on all of the boards. That is the minimum shear. And over there it's talking about they have less than that shear. Divrei Rav Yehuda. So, okay. So then what you're saying is that the Mishnah is only talking about a case where you carried out a shalhevet without anything. How could you carry out a shalhevet without anything? I mean, it's got to be burning something, right? So Elohad HaTanan, what's the meaning of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says if you took a shalhevet out, you're putter. How could you take a shalevet out if there's nothing that it's burning? It's talking about a flamethrower. They could go to Adya Delo Shisarabim. This is Elon Musk we're talking about over here. So this guy's like so into flamethrowers, you know, so if he fires, I mean, it becomes a gear. If he fires a flamethrower into Rosh Hashanah from Rosh Hashanah, okay, so then he wouldn't be chayiv. So you might think he'd be chayiv. Kamash Kalan, he's not chayiv. On the Shalemis per se. Cute. Okay, time for our Kapitan.
Flamethrower?
Mm-hmm.
Flamethrower? But that's also a substance, even though you know, may not see it.
No, no, you don't carry the flamethrower. You just carry the flame.
No, but the flame, when it goes out, is burning something. It's like a
chemical. Yeah, but that's the whole point. That since you do not see the chemical, you don't see the chemical reaction. So therefore, there's no object that we relate it to.
Rabbi Yaakov Kleiman, who was the master of the hat at the weddings, that's the image Rabbi has now joined this year.
Oh, excellent. So, thank you, Sir Richard. What do we do with water taken out of a bore? Now, at this point, it isn't clear whether we're talking about a well or we're talking about a cistern. It's going to turn out that it's talking about a cistern, as we'll see. But if you take water out of a cistern, like if it's a private cistern, it's like anything else. And it's kiragle hayachid. And if that guy made it Erev, you are not allowed to carry it outside of the area where that guy is allowed to carry, even though you didn't make an Erev and you should have a right to go to the other direction. Michelle, on Sheota Iris, suppose you have a public water cistern. So then anything that is a public thing, we saw before, that it's given to the Ragle on Sheota Iris, it gets the din of the common area of the city, so that if an individual made an Erev in one direction, he can't use that Erev for the water. The water is limited to the tchum, which would either be common with him and the other people in the city, or if he made it all the way to the other side, so then he lost out on that other side totally. So it would only go according to the rest of the people. Shall only bavel. Now, there was water borot that Ezra and Nehemiah, they made when they came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they did a lot of things. I mean, including building the Beis HaMikdash and the Azores and so on. All of those things are considered to be the work projects of Olei Bavel. So in order for them to have water and for future road travelers to have water, they also established a lot of these cisterns on the way that would gather rainwater, as we'll see it's talking about. So the din of that water is it has the same din as whoever it is that takes it out. Now, obviously, this Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that even Chefetz Hefker get their own tchum. That was the last thing that we had learned in the previous sugya. So this Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, who said that there is no din of kinyan tchum, of something that has no owner, and that Chefetz Hefker are kiragle whoever is zoricha them. In this case, it would be correctly Hamimaleh, obviously, whoever took the water out of the cistern, that's who establishes the Tchum. Rami Le'Rovel Reb Nachman. So Rava points out a contradiction from our Mishnah to a Braisa. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, the Bor Shal Yochid. It goes according to the owner of that Yochid. The problem is that there's a Braisa that says that wherever you have flowing water, so let's say you have a river, a stream, or for that matter, a well, Ma'ayanot HaNovim. This takes on, Harein Karagle, Kol Adam. So since they were moving, they never get a Mokum Shvisa, because remember, Shvisa means that you are at rest. So the water's not at rest. So since it was never at rest at the beginning of Shabbos, or the beginning of Yontif, it does not get any Tchum. I don't care who owns it, who doesn't own it. And therefore, in that sense, it should have the dinarein kiragle kol adam. So therefore, for sure, if they're moving around, even if they were owned by an individual, it only is basically going to get the tchum. Enough kamina between various rishonim, whether it means it doesn't get any tchum even after it's drawn, Which means, in other words, if I take the water out, I can give it to somebody else, and that somebody else can take it wherever he wants to, or whether it just means the equivalent of saying, kiragle ha-motzio. But this is a machlokes. Fine. But in any event, our Mishnah says that it goes according to the owner. And over here it says that the owner doesn't really have a sense of shvisa on water because water is not shoveit. Sit down and join us. What's going on over there? Ira, do something. Man, oh man, is this what the army does? Okay. So anyway, answers Rabbah, the Mishnah, and this here's how we know that it was talking about cisterns as opposed to wells. What makes you think the Mishnah is talking about moving water? The Mishnah is talking about a cistern. And therefore, seems because of that, it's not running water, so it's the tchum of the owner. If it would have been water that's constantly replenishing, so then it would not have gotten a tchum. V'itmanami, om rechir barovin om shmuel, bimilchunasim. Our Mishnah is definitely talking about a cistern and not a well. Okay, now you... Yeah.
Does Rebbe mean to differentiate between well and spring? A well getting from the water aquifer as opposed to spring?
No, I do not mean to differentiate. No. Specifically, not. Ma'im Novim is in a well that is being renewed, but it's not flowing. Menoharot HaMoshchim are flowing, but the idea is that it's not the same water that's just sitting there. Okay, then the Mishnah says, anything that comes from the Ole Bovel, it gets a din like the individual who takes it out, Itma. So here is a question. If somebody takes out water from one of those Ole Bovel cisterns, and he does that in order to give it to a friend of his. So he takes it out and gives it to a friend. What's the din? Reb Nachman says, well, it goes according to the person for whom it was removed. So if that person has an eruv in one direction or another, he can take it wherever he wants. Reb Sheshet says, no, the guy who took the water out of the well actually defined its tchum at that moment, even though he had in mind that it should be for the other person. So when he gives it to the other person, it's too late. That water is limited by the drawer's tchum and not by the current owner's tchum. So what are they arguing about over here? Reb Sheshet apparently holds that this bor has a din of hefker, and it's taking for granted that in the event that somebody would pick up something from Hefker, so let's say he sees a wallet on the ground. Well, we shouldn't say wallet, it gets us into problems of simonim. He sees something valuable on the ground, a kli, and he picks it up in order to hand it to the guy who had seen it. There's a guy on the camel and says, oh, could you pick that up for me? The guy picks it up for him. When he picks it up, is he mezaka it to the person who's on the camel, or is it basically his? If he says, I picked it up for myself or whatever, right? He never gave it to him. So the question that revolves around is it possible for you to be mezaka somebody else in money that is hefker, since by doing so, you are preventing other people who might want to be zocha in it from being zocha? So this is called mezakel chaviro b'makom shechav la'achirim. You're hurting other people. So this was a question, whether you are allowed, let's say, to collect a loan from somebody. Let's say there's five people that have money that so-and-so owes it. And you see so-and-so's things, you would go and grab it for your friend. You know, so-and-so is never going to pay his loan. So you go and you take it. But everybody else starts screaming, hey, wait a minute, I was going to get that money. He owed me money. So can you do that if you are not personally going to be kind of it? That's the machlokas. So apparently, Rav Sheshet holds that since this is, both of them agreed to that yesod. So Rav Sheshet holds, since this is hefker, so you cannot be a shaliach to be kind of from the hefker. Masha Inker and Nachman holds that no, when the Ole Bovel made this, they didn't make it to be hefker for anybody. They made it to give over to all of Klal Yisrael to be shutafim. So if you are shutafim, so then you're basically taking something that you have a right to. So if you pick it up in order to be mezaka it to someone else, that's perfectly okay. Why not? You could be mezaka your things to someone, as long as it's not hurting anyone else. Eisvei Rav Reb Nachman, So Rava says that's impossible, because take a look at this Mishnah and tell me how that would work out. I mean, this is a Mishnah in the Dorim. So somebody says, I am a cherem on you. That means that I am making myself to you the equivalent of Hegdash Berakabai, which means that you're not allowed to be nena from me. So then the din is that the person against whom the neder was aimed, Hamudar, is Osir. And obviously the person who made the neder, I mean, he can do whatever he wants. Hareyata alai cherem, if he says anything that you own is considered to be the equivalent of Hegdash to me, so then the one who made the neder is Osir. If he says both, Hareini alecha ve'ata alai, then both are us or on each other. Okay, that's a fundamental halacha. But here's the piece that's nogea us. It says both of them, under these conditions, would be mutter bishel ole bavel. They would still be mutter in any of the things that ole bavel made, which of course includes these barot that we've been talking about. We'll explain what the other things are. And that's not considered to be something that is owned b'shut afut, because if it were owned b'shut afut, then they would be able to answer each other. So now the question is like this. What are those things? They would be mutter b'shut alagava, but they would be usher in things that were made in the city that they're both residents in, because in that they're shutafim, and a shutaf can answer another shutaf from using his part of the shut afut. So, what are those things? Elohim Devarim Shal Olei Bavel. Well, first of all, there's the whole Harabayit, the Lishakot, the Azarot. All of those things were built by Olei Bavel. There's the Borot that we're talking about over here, a Bor that's in the middle of the road that was built by Olei Bavel. The Elohim Shal Otah Ha'ir, and the things that are part of that city would be like the city center, Harachov, the Beit HaKnesset, the Beit HaMerchatz. Those are owned collectively by all the people who pay taxes. So now, here's my problem, says Rava. If you're going to try to tell me, the way you just explained with Nachman, that the bar of the Oleg Bavel is considered to be shutafut, and that is the reason that you are able to be kena it for the other individual, then why is it mutter? The halacha is, hatnana shutafim shenadru ha'na'az ha'miser, asurim likanes l'chatzer. Even if they own jointly a chatzer, they're not allowed to go into the chatzer. I mean, basically, I don't really need to bring a riot because the Mishnah just said so itself. Things that I own b'shut afut, like the bathhouse of the city that I pay taxes for, so I'm not allowed to be nene from if the other shutaf asserted it on me. So it's very clear, therefore, that it's impossible. I mean, for a Nachman to argue with the Mishnah, what's he going to say? He's going to say that it's considered to be a bar of shutafim. So how do you explain why the Mishnah says that it's mutter to be nene? Well, that I can answer. I'll tell you, if I hold a brera, I can answer it. Because here's how I'll answer it. This bar, it basically depends when we say mutter. Mutter what? I mean, if it's mutter, I can say mutter refers to taking out a bucket of water. That I can do if I hold a brera. Because I can say the water that I took out was the water that was magia to me from the beginning of the shutafut. Again, assuming that I hold a brera. What I cannot do is go swimming in the bar. Because over there I'm being nene from all of the water. I mean, I'm basically using it as a swimming pool, then the whole swimming pool is my fish pond. So if that's the case, then I'm being nene from the other guy's water. That's the difference. So lirchotz b'bar. So we're not going to say, enochinami. When it says over here they're usher, that's true. They are usher, but they're usher to go swimming in it. But what we're talking about in the Mishnah, somebody just wants to take out a bucket of water. So there, even if it's shutafut, it would still be mutter, because what I would say is that based on brera, mar midi dekom amali or mar midi dekom amali, each one of the shutafim ends up being the one who takes out that which was destined to be his, which is the meaning of brera. Savarim Nachman yesh brera. Wait a second. But Reb Nachman doesn't even hold a brera. We had this back in Shkolin, remember? Ha'achim ha'shutafim. Remember, kishachayavim b'kalabon, they're p'turim b'ma'aser b'hima, kishachayavim b'ma'aser b'hima, p'turim b'ma'kalabon. You remember this sugya. It's very straightforward. Normally speaking, when the time, this is the way the Rambam explained it, as we explained it back in Shkolin, it's a beautiful explanation, which is that the value of the machtzis ha'shekel goes up around the time of the need to give the machtzis ha'shekel. Why? Because everybody is trying to buy machtzis ha'shekel coins. So besides the nominal value of the coin, the bank asks for an additional premium for actually giving you those coins, right? These kind of things happen. Now, if that's the case, then when Hegdish gets those coins, they actually get more than the face value of the Machzis HaShekel. That additional value equals a ma, which is a collarbone, right? So that's called the collarbone. And therefore, if you participate with another person, you say, okay, listen, we could both save ourselves a collarbone. We'll give a whole shekel together so we don't have to pay the additional money to buy Machzis HaShekel coins. Mm-mm. Because then you're cheating Hegdish out of its additional collarbone that you each would have had to give if you actually had given a Machzis HaShekel. So therefore, you can't do that. So you're each going to have to pay the collarbone anyway. Fine. However, the din is that a father who is paying the Machzis HaShekel for his children, right? So there, the Machzis HaShekel, if he's giving a whole shekel for him and Yedidya, let's say, so then it would be one Machzis HaShekel for both of them, and that would be fine, right? So what happens in the event that you have two brothers that inherit an estate? Now, throughout the years, these two brothers would have been able to give one shekel, and that was considered to be the equivalent of the estate. The estate always has a right. The father always had a right to give one shekel for two kids. So the question is like this. If they split the estate, and then they go ahead and they make a shutafut. So they're like any two people that make a shutafut. They don't get any kind of discount just because they once were brothers in an estate. And therefore, they end up being chayev in the kalabong. However, if they're chayev in a kalabong, that means that they are registered now as a company. But a company is potter from Maiser Behema. So if they're chayiv in the kalabon, then they're going to be potter of Maiser Behema. If they're chayiv in Maiser Behema, it means that they never split and they don't have a company. They're now just continuing the estate. And therefore, they're potter from the kalabon. So it's a directly inverse relationship. Fine. So far, so good. This is just an introduction. How does Breira get involved in this? Very simple. The difference is that Rav Hanan explained, when do we say this? That's only if when they split the estate, they split it unevenly. So let's say the father had 50 cows and 50 horses. And one of the brothers says, I can't stand horses. Just give me the cows. You take the horses. Okay. So they split it unevenly. One guy takes all the horses, the other guy takes all the cows, right? So if they were cholek different speed, let's say one takes kids, one takes lands, or cows and horses or whatever. But if they divided everything evenly, each one got half the horses, each one got half the cows, each one got half the kids, each one got half the lambs, then what we say is, Breira tells us what you took out of the estate was destined for you from all along. This is yours, because that's Breira. Reb Nachman, here's where our problem is. Reb Nachman says, there ain't no such thing as Breira. I don't care how it is that you split it. Even Gedim Keneged Gedim Utlaim Keneged Tlaim, we never say it's destiny because he disagrees with Breira. So then obviously you can't try to tell me that according to Reb Nachman, if all I'm doing is taking out a bucket of water from the well, that then it's considered to be Breira of the Shutafut if he doesn't hold a Breira. Okay, fine. Then we were wrong. That's not the answer. And since it's not the answer, we don't have an answer. Because if we're going to say it's talking about the difference between the shutafut or hefker, we're going to end up with the problem of the neder in the dorim. We don't have an answer. So therefore, we're going to now give a completely different explanation. Okay. Now what I want to say is that Reb Sheshes and Reb Nachman both agree that it is considered to be hefker, not a shutafut, which explains why it is that the Mishnah said about the Olei Bavel, that there's no problem of your being nene from it. Because you don't have any ownership in it to be able to answer in anybody else. So then what is the question? How do we explain the machlokas about whether if you take water out for somebody else, whether it's that person's or whether it's the person who lifted it up? How do we explain that? I'll tell you. What's the machlokas? Hocha b'magbiya mitziya lecha v'ero kamifleget. What they're not agreed on is a completely different issue. Can somebody, when he picks up something for someone else, So what would be the halacha of that din? Rashi understands the sugya is like this. Mar sovar kana, umar sovar lo kana. The question is, when you pick it up, are you kona? And it's not the question of whether you're allowed to be picking up something where it's a mokum shekav lacheir. No, nothing to do with that. What it does have to do with is, since in your mind, you're picking it up with the intention to give it to the other person eventually. So therefore, the question is, until you give it to the other person, does the fact that you picked it up in order to change its status from non-owned hefkeres to owned, and you're not able to make it owned by the other guy yet, can you therefore say, well, it remains hefker until I hand it over to the other guy? Or do we say, ipso facto, if you picked it up, you were kona it because you weren't able to give it to the other guy yet? That's the machlokas. So when you picked it up with intent to give it to someone else, and you did not want it to be your own, is it considered to be your own vis-a-vis tchumim? And then if you give it to the other guy 5 minutes later, it's too late because it was already kind of the tchum of the individual who picked it up. Or do we say he maintains the status of hefker until such time as he gives it over? So Rav Sheshes holds that he was kind of, so therefore it goes according to his tchum, even if afterwards he gives it to the other guy. Whereas Rav Nachman holds, no, you weren't kind of it, and therefore it goes to the case, to the rishus of the person to whom you gave it.